Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. So many years ago in this country, we had something called Prohibition. In fact, it's one of the times that the country all came together as one. Hard to believe, right? And that lasted from 1919 until it was repealed in 1933. So in 2013, finally, New Jersey passed a law creating a craft distillery license, and the New Jersey Division of the Alcoholic Beverage Control issued its first distillery license since Prohibition ended in 1933. And that license went to the Jersey Artisan Distilling, which is based in Fairfield, New Jersey. That's in Essex County, for those who don't know it. And the owners are Krista Haley and Brant Brow, and they are with me today. So, hi, guys. Thanks for being with me.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing today?
As I said, I've been looking forward to this all day. And naturally, when we decided that we were going to have an interview, you know, I had to do a field trip to check everything out for myself. And, of course, I'm so happy that I did, because that was really very interesting to see a distillery in operation. And on the day when I was there, just I have to mention, you were distilling some peeps.
You were here for the peep experiment.
Yes, for the peep experiment. So we might have to talk a little bit about that later. We will share that a little bit later. So first of all, what I really am curious for you to share with us is, obviously, Prohibition repealed 1933, no new distilleries in the state of New Jersey. And it's interesting to note, especially for people who live in New Jersey, that there was a distiller, or there is still, the Laird Applejack facility, which is in Colts Neck, New Jersey. And that's been around since the 1700s. But obviously, there hasn't been much action since then. So what was going on that made it so difficult to open a distillery? And what the law had to change? So maybe you guys can tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Laird Distillery actually survived Prohibition because by making medical alcohol, that's where the phrase an apple a day comes from. It had nothing to do with any health concerns, but more so that you could get your pint of Applejack every day prescribed by your doctor. And then after Prohibition, they were, basically grandfathered in and got an automatic license because they never really shut down. I think they shut down for like a week to switch over from real Applejack to the medical version of Applejack. But then they actually have moved their distilling out of New Jersey, and they do it in Virginia now.
And
the law regarding distilleries hadn't been updated since 1933, except to make it more expensive to open a distillery. So when we decided we were going to open a distillery, there had been a craft distilling bill floated, but it never made it out of committee with the legislature. And being a lawyer, I knew that, they would never pass a craft distilling law until it actually applied to somebody. So we opened under the old law and then worked with the legislature. I went down and I testified, got the law out of committee, and it actually passed. And was signed by Governor Christie in October of 2013. So
are you thinking that if you didn't sort of test the limits and want to open something, that probably nothing would have ever happened?
It's likely. There might have been somebody along the lines after us or, instead of us who was brave and crazy enough to do this. But we wanted to be the first, too. We're both, pretty hardcore Jersey people, really proud to be from Jersey and wanted to open this here.
I think it's just interesting also to note that there were provisions already for craft beer and craft wine. So I wonder why it took so long for them to figure out about a craft distillery.
Well, those laws only passed two once the breweries existed and the wineries existed, and they started lobbying the government to pass laws to help them better do business. So that was kind of what we went under, and the craft distilling law is based very much on, you know, to mirror the winery and brewery laws.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Now, another thing that I find curious, so as a craft distillery, the designation of craft means something about limiting your production. Is that right?
Yes,
it
does.
Part of it? Yeah.
It limits us to 20,000 gallons of production. So that was one of the things that, just to be able to get the law passed, that was something, you know, we felt comfortable with at the, you know, in the beginning, to be able to say, is 20,000 gallons too high? Is it too low?
Mm-hmm.
But to really be able to actually get the law passed and be able to actually, you know, not have to deal with the confrontation that the restaurant association was really putting up with us. So we decided, you know, 20,000 gallons was a nice number. It was something that we could work with. And later on, it's a lot easier to be able to change a number than get a whole law passed.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay. So that really does make sense. So ultimately what you would want to do is raise that limit so you could expand your business.
Yeah.
The national average is like about 75,000 gallons per year is still considered crap. So, we're hoping that, because, I mean, the big companies like Bacardi, they make 120,000 gallons a day. So, make under 100,000 gallons a year, you still have to be very hands-on in the process.
Mm-hmm. So, I can understand why there were not too many, or there were no distilleries before you, because I'm sure you had to go through a pretty arduous process to make this all happen. But a little bit of a belated congratulations, but I think it's great that you got it started. So you paved the way for others. Yeah.
Well, right at this point, we did pave the way, and I know right at this point there's probably, I know the last license that I heard of that was issued was number 7
mm-hmm.
inside Jersey, and that was issued about a week and a half ago.
Wow, number 7.
Number 7.
We have a way.
So it's growing.
No, but that's great.
That's
it's exciting.
But that's exactly what, you know, our goal was the fact that, you know, we wanted to, you know, change the law, pave the way. And the neatest part that comes out of being number 1 is the fact they can't make it through the first, you know, any conversation without, you know, repeating who was number 1.
Yes. That's true. That's true. So, Krista, I know your background is as an attorney. And so, Brant, what about you? What were you before you were distilling?
I was an electrical engineer.
A natural segue.
Obviously. It was, most people find it a rough kind of way to look at, a segue between electrical engineering and distilling. But realistically, you know, distilling is very much a numbers game. So once
mm-hmm.
you're in the electrical engineering world, everything's based on numbers and stuff like that. And actually distilling, in my world, what I was doing before, yes, I was an electrical engineer. I did a little bit of mechanical engineering that was very much tied to it. And it really applied, that mechanical engineering side truly applied to what I was what we do at a distillery. So
mm-hmm.
To me, it was a really comfortable segue. Outside learning the chemical engineering side of it, on the beginning side of fermentation and stuff like that, you know, it was truly, you know, that was a learning lesson, but it really, engineering actually helped out a ton, being able to understand what I was doing.
Well, there is that mad scientist thing going on in the lab, right?
Oh, absolutely. Come on.
Yeah,
Breaking
I
Bad.
Like that. Yeah, yeah, kind of. Yeah, it kind of had a...
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That good analogy. So how did you guys get together, and where did this idea of opening a distillery come from?
Well, he's
we
going to blame
met,
me for this one.
Yeah, it's all his fault. we actually met at Crooked Hill Brewery during one of their Friday tours and tastings, and
so
we both
involved.
Went there. Yes, of course, because all good ideas come out of alcohol.
They do, I know.
Yes, so we met and we became friends, and we'd like sit around and we'd talk about it, and somehow magically we were both at points in our career where not only could we make a change, but we both were, you know, in need of a change. Like, Brant and I are both the kind of people who need new challenges and
mm-hmm.
need to learn new things. And this presented an opportunity for both of us, me from the lawyering side and him from the engineering side, to kind of try something way out of left field. So, you know, we sat around, it took us months of talking about it before one day, you know, I got the forms from the state and I've made some calls and had some lists and whatnot. And we sat down and kind of went over what I'd learned and looked at each other and we're like, we could actually do this. Like, this could
mm-hmm.
really happen. You know, it's going to suck for a while. We're going to be really poor, and we're basically going to have to live this for the next few years. But in the end, we both agreed that it would be worth it. So,
and is that the point when, while you were doing your investigation, when you unearthed all of these archaic laws and restrictions?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I even like called down to the ABC at one point. And, you know, basically they said, there's nobody alive who's ever done this, so we don't really have a process. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we went down, we had a meeting with the director of
nobody
the ABC alive. And his staff just to try to figure out what we were doing. And, you know, and even then they you know, didn't have a checklist of any sort. So
mm-hmm.
We kind of put together a binder with 13 sections of things that, you know, we thought should be included in the application and that the state would need. And now if you look at the craft distilling license and the instructions for that, there are 13 items that you have to provide. So,
look at that.
Yeah, it was
good
pretty
for
cool.
You. Very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, through this I've gotten to do with a lot of things that most lawyers never get to do in their lives. You know,
so you
work on drafting
also,
legislation
yeah.
and create
Very
a,
cool.
you know, process and, yeah, a lot of fun.
Excellent. Really, that is very cool. So
yeah.
Now, Brant, as the mad scientist partner, how did you know what to do? I believe rum was the first thing that you started working on, so it's not like you just open a book and get a recipe, or is
well,
it?
That, no, well, yes, it is, and actually to find out, it's probably, yeah, well, in my engineering world, I'm sitting here and I was thinking, I'm like, you know, I'd like to make a product, and, you know, I know what I was, you know, a good general idea in my head. If you really want to distill something, you can open a, you know, a 10th grade, you know, physics book, and, yeah, you can distill. It's not a hard process. Devil's truly in the details, and, that, you know, that's what I learned. But
mm-hmm.
one of the neat things as getting into it is I ended up finding that rum was actually the most difficult one out of all of them, because if I define whiskey, the federal government actually has definitions. You know, if you want to make bourbon, bourbon's got to be 51% corn. It's got to be distilled to above 125
okay.
proof, below 160, aged in a new white American oak barrel for a minimum of 2 years. And so at that point, they tell you what it starts with, how it's distilled, and how it's finished. And when it, you know, in my head, okay, mashing. I didn't want to get into the whole mashing world and everything like that. So I said, let me go with rum. Rum, which should be easy. I can bring in molasses. I can basically dilute it down, ferment it, and distill it, and I'll be at rum. Is that true?
Mm.
Absolutely. But now here comes the hardest part. how many different – so as far as the federal government goes, they only have one definition of rum. It starts as a sugar cane product. The
okay.
end.
Okay, yeah.
So how many variables can you find in white sugar, brown sugar, molasses? Oh, when you start digging into it, there's 15 or 20 different varieties of molasses, any way you want to ferment it, any way you want to distill it, and any way you want to finish it. So now all of a sudden the amount of variables that I didn't think about before came and slapped me upside the head. And it took me about 50 different versions and 50 different tries to actually get to a point where we actually – it took us 2 months before we ever put anything in a barrel because it took us 50 tries.
Just
so
constantly varying the recipe until you got what you liked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that new distilleries, you know, not just me, but every distillery faces along the line is actually creating a profile that is exactly what you want. And me, I made the choice. If I was making bourbon, that would have been a real easy world because, you know, I only had 49% of an ingredient to play with and the rest of it was defined. This, oh, my God, it was just way out there, and it really actually, to me, it became more intriguing trying to figure out how and why, and going back to the chemical engineering world, I had to figure out how and why flavors were produced, whether it was in the fermentation, or was it carried over in distillation, or if it was a flavor I didn't want, how to eradicate it. So it really became a, you know, it really became an arduous.
There was a lot of science.
Yeah, way too much science for me at that second.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I really learned more in just trying to produce the hardest product than it was the easiest.
Wow.
And Brant also did go take a class in distilling out in Las Vegas for a week. I just went to Vegas for a week while he did that. And you know, and every day from like the first day he took the class, like that was how I knew and he knew that this was really what we needed to be doing. And this was, you know, how we were really gonna, like, that we could actually do this. Because he came back with notebooks and binders and notes, and he'd just chatter on about how excited he was about what he had learned.
So it's like you're playing with the recipe until it tastes exactly the way you want it to be. And I guess is that how you determined it, just by, for you, this is what I want, this is what I want my rum to taste like?
Well, you know, there was everything from sitting around saying, how does it taste with Coke? How does it taste with Diet Coke? How does it taste in different drinks? And those were some of the things that really, you know, changed how we, once I started learning how flavors and what characteristics were, it was actually sitting down. I made a rum, sat down, and we'd sit down and put it in a Diet Coke and go, it fell apart. But in a regular Coke, it was awesome. And then, you know, just trying all different things to figure out how it would actually taste in not just the rum form, but how it tasted in the whole characteristics of making drinks and doing everything like that. That's actually where we spent more time trying to create a profile based on a good rum is a good rum. It's smooth, it tastes great.
Mm-hmm.
But mixing it with a drink, if it falls apart in a drink, then we were like, oh, that kind of stinks. So
yeah, that's not what we want.
Yeah, so we ended up having, you know, we did a lot of heavy drinking along the line, but
I'm sure.
It's
so
a tough
you have
job,
a light rum and you have a dark rum. How are they different?
The dark rum itself is we truly start exactly at the same time, but one of the interesting things that comes out of it is we actually finish our dark rum exactly as you do a whiskey. We use new white American oak barrels. We use them once, only twice, if that. So we get that nice oaky flavor. We get that barrel flavor. We're, you know, our company is still fairly young in the sense of being only barely 2 years old, about a year and 10 months on the shelf. But, you know, we're a year and a half coming out of a barrel, and our dark rum is all barrel itself. And, you know, one of the things of, you know, going back to the beginning, we wanted something that played very well with the barrel. And in the distillation process, I learned where to make my cuts and how to, you know, get it into a barrel and what plays well with the barrel compared to our silver rum, which is a great mixer, does everything else, and is very clean, very neat, and makes, you know, absolutely fabulous drinks, mm-hmm. no matter what you do with it.
Now, because you're such a new company, but your rum won some silver medals at the New York World Wine and Spirits Competition. That must have felt pretty amazing for you guys.
That was really amazing, because what we submitted to that was from our, you know, first batches of rum.
Mm-hmm.
So to get that validation on what we were, when we entered that, we hadn't even released it to the world yet. So it was kind of a, let's send this, and we think it's good, and let's get the feedback now before we release something. And then to win silver medals, like, you know, being
pretty
a company
fabulous.
6 months out of the gate, like,
yeah.
it's unheard
yeah.
of. So it was pretty amazing.
Other than going
yeah.
through changing the law and that sort of thing, what's been the biggest challenge to create a distillery?
That one's an easy one. We can
okay.
once you learn to distill, that's actually, we can distill all day and every day. It is actually getting the public to realize you're alive.
Marketing, yes.
Marketing, yes. marketing, marketing.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, neither of us have a marketing background. Like, you know, I've had to learn some of it over the last couple of years
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we're a staff of two right now. and so Brant does, you know, he does all the distilling, and that's his world out. And then, you know, I make sure that we're following the law and that, you know, things get done. But then that also brings with it that I do a lot of the promotional events too, because, which works actually for us, because Brant is much more a morning person than I am. Like, I like doing the evening events, but I hate having to wake up in the morning. So, you know, if I'm going to do an event till 11 o'clock at night, that means I don't have to come in till 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, whereas
mm-hmm.
he'll be here like 8:30 to ferment and distill, but he's not out till 11 o'clock at night necessarily. Like, there are some times when we both have to be at the event, but for the most part, I do them, and, you know, that works for us, and so that's
okay.
been a big part of how we've gotten the word out. In various events and social media.
Let me just mention to my listeners that, of course, after the show, I'll put up my blog. And Jersey Artisan Distilling has tastings on the weekends. And you don't have to worry about memorizing addresses or anything else. I will put links on my blog to their website and to Facebook. And I would definitely recommend that you go up there, meet Krista, meet Brant, take a tour, definitely have a tasting.
Yeah,
so
I'll
put that up for you.
I love our tastings and tours. Yeah, that's become like my favorite part of it, because we get to meet
I can see why.
So many people and like hang out and tell our story, and
uh-huh.
you know, people get to
yeah.
see that, you know, we're actual real people. We're not some like company mass producing things. Like, we're two people still trying to figure this out and having a great time doing it.
Now, besides the rum, is there anything else being distilled?
Well, we do have a lot of interesting things going on right at this second.
Oh, let's talk
you
about
know,
the meat.
We are working on probably a gamut of probably five or six different other things right at this second.
Uh-huh.
You know, everything from a sorghum whiskey to a limoncello to absinthe
yes.
to coffee rum to...
That's right.
Even as stretched out as going to a rum sorbet.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yes,
I'll take some.
Yes,
well, I have
that,
to say,
should be available
was the
soon.
Best I ever had. I loved it. It was absolutely delicious, the best.
Oh, thank you.
And but what did you finally do with those distilled peeps? And by the way, guys, we're talking about those keeps you buy at Easter time.
Oh, yeah, well, that's all it is.
Well, what we ended up doing was after the peeps came out and they were on sale for like 10 cents a package, we ended up picking up about 1,800 of them. And what we ended up deciding is, now, inside this, my little world, when I went out to Vegas, the Vegas distilling, one of the things that they did was they were doing kind of a twist on a moonshine, which was called Rumsky. It was kind of it was rum and whiskey fermented separately and then distilled together. And then I was like, okay, it was an okay product. It was very interesting, all of that. Now, when I was looking at the ingredients on a Peep has corn. Corn syrup. Corn is whiskey.
Corn.
Now,
yes.
Also inside that, there's actual sugar cane or sugar. So that makes rum. So we just ventured into calling it Peepski. You know, just
Peepski.
A twist on that. Yeah, then
well,
what we ended up doing was taking 1,798 of them, because I ate two of them, and boiled them down.
Uh-huh.
Yes, there was two missing. We had to do a test batch, you know, make sure they were okay. We boiled them down, hot water, boiled them down. It's really neat. The eyes of a peep are actually Canuba wax with pepper in it. So all natural product. But the rest of it, it turned out to be a big blue vat of peep guts. That's the best thing
peep
I could
guts.
Call them.
Yeah.
And then what we ended up doing was...
And then...
Yeah, we distilled it down, and actually, we figured it was going to go one way or the other. Either it was going to be the most fabulous thing on earth, or it was going to be the most horrific thing on earth. And actually, come to the end of it, it's not a bad product. It's not something that we're going to release on open market. But inside the distilling world, these are interesting things that we get to do. So
next year
will be Yellow Peeps.
Well, see, there again, it's that mad scientist element. So, we should mention that the name of your rum is called Busted Barrel.
Yep.
And since we're getting close to the end here, I want to make sure that you mention to everyone, where do we find your products?
You can find it all over New Jersey. If you go on our website, which is jerseyartisandistilling.com, we actually have a page that lists every store in the state of New Jersey, broken down by county, as well as places you can buy it in D.C., Maryland, and New York State, Long Island, and New York City. So, you can buy it just about anywhere.
Well, I think that's pretty exciting because you haven't been around even 2 years, and you said marketing is not your best thing yet. It's the most challenging part, and already... You've won an award in New York, and your product is available throughout New Jersey. So I'd say you're doing very well.
Yeah.
Well, we hope that
we're
very
proud of that, and we have to remind ourselves once in a while that because we keep wanting to do more, and our goal is total world domination. But every once in a while, we sit back and we're like, "Wow, look at all that we actually have accomplished!" Like, let's just take a minute. And then after that minute's done, we go back to the work of moving forward. So,
well, speaking of a minute, we have about a minute left. And I want to say, again, you've really paved the way for other people. You've really done a public service, maybe not even intentionally. But I just think it's wonderful. I encourage everyone to visit you guys.
Yeah.
If somebody was going to be opening a distillery, just very quickly, do you have any quick words of advice for them?
Do your research and deal with the budget, because that was one of our biggest, we came into it with an okay amount of money, but whatever you think you have money wise, triple it and that'd be better.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? We are basically out of time, so let me just say to my guests today, Krista Haley and Brant Brow of Jersey Artisan Distilling, thank you so much for being my guest today. So, can 30 minutes change? My pleasure. Can 30 minutes change your life? Maybe. So please, keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. Till next time, I'm Andrea Tarr. And have a drink of Busted Barrel Rum. Bye, everyone. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.